evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Monday, August 12, 2024. Sudan's conflict is affecting residents of Upper Nile State.
Yesterday in Kortumbak, there were planes of Northern Sudan that bombed us. They bombed Kortumbak and killed two people from South Sudan.
And an outspoken religious leader in South Sudan is calling on the government of South Sudan to administer justice.
And now that the vice president has clearly voiced it out, we are asking the international community and all those to give pressure to the government of South Sudan to release Callisto, because you cannot use abduction to arrest anybody.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in South Sudan say the Sudan Air Force bombed a village in Maban County of South Sudan's Upper Nile State. A witness in Maban say two jet fighters bombed Kortumbak village for 2 days, killing two people, a cow, and a goat in the area. The 2 days of bombing caused panic among residents, including refugees from Sudan. A government official in Maban, who requested not to be identified because of fear of government reaction, spoke to me in Arabic about the warplanes allegedly looking for Sudanese rebels hiding inside South Sudan territory.
Yesterday in Kortumbak, there were planes of Northern Sudan that bombed us. They bombed Kortumbak and killed two people from South Sudan. The airstrike also killed a goat and a cow. Do you have any evidence the planes are from Sudan? Civilians in the area say it so because they buried the two people and they came back with accurate information. They said former rebels from Sudan are there, and that is why those people, Sudan government, bombed residential areas. Let me ask you one question. Why did the Sudan army bomb Kortumbak? Why is Sudan bombing South Sudanese territories? Rebel soldiers from Sudan come into South Sudan territories. That is why Sudan is bombing without discriminating. When these rebels left Damazin, they camped inside South Sudan. They did not return to Sudan. When you say rebels, you mean rebels from which group? From northern part, from Sudan. People who rebelled against Malik Agar's group, Abdel Aziza Al-Hiru group, and others. This is the position that was hit yesterday and today. These people you're calling rebels, do they belong to SPLA North? Yes, SPLA North, SPLA North. Why are SPLA North in South Sudan territories? In their first rebellion in 2011, they left Sudanese land and moved to us in Maban County, here in a place called Doro. Their headquarters is behind Kortumbak, along the border. They did not return after the Juba Agreement. They are in Kurmuk, Yabus, and Kortumbak. Have the local authority complained to Sudan government?
Up to now, there is no report.
The government spoke to Radio Miraya that there was an airstrike on South Sudan land and two people were killed after they were told. They have not issued official statement. People are waiting for an official statement. How are civilians living in Maban? What is the situation of the civilians? Civilians have fled Kortumbak. There are South Sudan Army at Kortumbak and many other posts in Maban County. If you're telling me South Sudan Army are present in Maban, why did the South Sudan Army not respond to the airstrikes? The South Sudan Army at the border don't have anti-aircraft. They can only deploy anti-aircraft when the force is like a division. Right now, there are a few South Sudan forces at the border.
That's a South Sudan government official in Maban who requested not to be identified because of fear of government reaction. He spoke to me in Arabic last week when warplanes from Sudan bombed Upper Nile State. South Sudan Army spokesperson General Rul Roy Kong told this program on Wednesday last week that he has not received a green light from his boss to comment on the airstrikes. Repeated calls to a senior diplomat at the Sudan embassy in Juba went unanswered. Still on Sudan, the United States will proceed with talks on Sudan in Switzerland this week, even though confirmation from the Sudanese Army's attendance is still pending. U.S. Special Envoy for Sudan, Tom Pirellio, said he has arrived in Geneva from Saudi Arabia to launch the urgent international effort in Switzerland to end the crisis in Sudan. The lawyer representing Callisto Ladu, the former mayor of Juba, is calling on the government of South Sudan to release his client. This comes a day after the government of South Sudan acknowledged for the first time that it has detained Callisto Ladu. Dennis Logonyi reports for VOA from Juba.
Family members of Callisto Ladu, the former mayor of Juba town, told VOA in late March that he was arrested while returning to his home at High Kuwait in Juba toward the end of March. Since then, his whereabouts were unknown, prompting family members, activists and rights groups demanding his release. Waniga, South Sudan's vice president for economic cluster, said at a gathering over the weekend in Juba that Callisto is in government custody.
About the former mayor Callisto Ladu, he is a senior officer in organized forces. We were invited, five of us, including me and Jadala. They told me, Wani, you and Jadala are Bari. People are looking for the former mayor, Callisto, and asking who imprisoned him. We, the government, imprisoned him.
Wani Santino, the lawyer representing Callisto, is calling on the government to release his client without charges.
The security bill requires even someone to be produced in court within 24 hours. Why is it that they have not produced Callisto within 24 hours, as required by the National Security Act? The National Security Act requires you to arrest somebody without arrest warrant, but to produce the person within 24 hours. They have detained my client, Callisto, for more than 24 hours, as required by the Constitution, and detaining him in ungazetted places. The National Security House in Blue House or at the Riverside or in other parts of the country. These are not detention centers gazetted by the Constitution. The correct places for detaining people is either the police custody or the prison, but not the NS.
Santo Laku, the auxiliary bishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, says the government used an incorrect procedure to arrest Callisto.
And now that the vice president has clearly voiced it out, we are asking the international community and all those to give pressure to the government of South Sudan to release Callisto, because you cannot use abduction to arrest anybody. There are laws in this country, if at all there are laws. Since they have used a criminal process to arrest Callisto, unconditionally to release Callisto. And this has been our call from the very beginning. And then if a criminal arrests another criminal, both of them are actually a criminal in front of the law.
Vice President Iga said at a gathering in Juba that he watched a two-hour video showing Callisto Lado's alleged activities. Bishop Laku says, however, the process that led to Callisto's arrest was criminal in nature.
If you have already 2 hours video, why do you keep somebody for 4 or 5 months? If you have evidence, marry him in court. Immediately with the videos, let us see whether those videos are true or not. But you cannot hold a person, you hold the video, you hold the person for months and months, and you think it is an evidence? These are concoctions, because evidence doesn't need time. Evidence are clear. If you are a criminal, you are a criminal. If you are not a criminal, you are not a criminal.
Lawyer Santino says the government tortured his client to obtain unfounded evidence.
Only what we got was a defense. They said that charges against Callisto of treason, setting false information against the government, supplying bandits with weapons. I don't know who are these bandits. When they arrested Callisto, did they get him with those bandits? They also mentioned that he's supplying weapons to the enemy of the state. Who are those enemies of the state? Did they arrest Callisto with those enemies of the state? Callisto is always here in Juba. So all those informations that people are saying, or oh, Anita is saying, those are bogus statements.
On 22nd April 2024, Amnesty International called on South Sudanese authorities to disclose the whereabouts of Juba's ex-mayor, Callisto Lado. They also asked the government to make public the reasons for his detention if he is in custody and release him without delay, unless a lawful basis for his detention can be demonstrated. Callisto Lado was arrested while returning to his home at High Kuwait in Juba towards the end of March this year. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
From Juba, we go to Torit, where Eastern Equatorial State Parliament has reopened after closing down for more than a year. The Speaker of the Assembly says members of the body are ready to deliberate issues affecting the state. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from the state capital, Torit.
The Eastern Equatorial State Legislative Assembly closed in June last year for renovation. Charles Odwar, the Speaker of the State Legislative Assembly, praised the lawmakers in the area for staying calm during the closure.
We always forge ahead as a united institution. As we move forward, let us carry with us the spirit of unity and cooperation that has brought us this far. The challenges ahead are still substantial, but with the same level of dedication and commitment that has been displayed by all parties involved, I'm confident that we will continue to achieve great things for our people and our beloved state.
Eastern Equatorial State is composed of 8 counties: Torit, Ikotos, Budi, Kapweta East, Kapweta North, Kapweta South, and Magui. Jeff Logoria Lochipi, Assembly Member for Kapweta South County, says the legislative is ready to review the policy of the Ministry of Physical Infrastructure and Bridges.
Regarding the networking of in Eastern Equatoria, indeed, the roads conditions in Eastern Equatoria, they are in a dire conditions. Like for the instance, from counties to the capital of the state, there is a gap. There is a gap between the counties and the capital of the state. You find that, like for the instance, we have Lafon County. Now people have already lasted, like they are already separated, they are disconnected from the capital here. Like also we have Budi County, especially Chukudum, from Chukudum to Kapweta, or from Kapweta to here, or even from Ikotos. So the entire state is really in a dire situation of roads.
Kokol Michael represents Budi County and is the spokesperson of the assembly. He says he is ready to present issues affecting communities in Budi County.
Currently in other areas, there is no food completely. And in other areas, they might have food. In other areas, there are raidings going on. Other areas have got no road. Now, problems affecting the constituencies differs. All in all, we'll get this report in the parliament, we'll deliberate and pass, and we'll forward them to the executive, especially the governor, so that they are implemented.
Alphonse Moras Chacha, Member of Parliament for Ikotos County, says he is eager to see the state budget for this year.
Surely we will participate in the passing of the budget, because normally, as a matter of procedure, it is the executive to pass the budget first. Then after passing, then it comes to us in the assembly. Then we will either reject or accept we either reduce the budget or whatever is there. That will be our role as parliamentarians.
South Sudan has 10 states and 3 administrative areas, and each of them has a legislature. All members of the legislative assemblies are appointed by President Salva Kiir. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa reporting in Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a delegation from the United Nations, the African Union, and IGAD visited Tumbura and came out satisfied. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A delegation from the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, the African Union, and the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, also known as IGAD, say they are looking for ways to reduce tension and prevent conflict following outbreaks of violence in Tumbura County of Western Equatorial State, which caused significant loss of life, destruction of property, and widespread displacement. Samuel Lee is IGAD's support staff, who was part of the team that visited Tumbura County last week. Lee says the situation in Tumbura appears calm.
So we left on the 6th of this month and flew to Western Equatoria, Yambio, and proceeded to Tumbura, the hotspot for the 2021 intercommunal environment. We were received by the county commissioner, and the situation, I will describe it as it was relatively calm. This is informed by how we were received.
Now being received at the airport is different from what is, you know, in the hearts of people who witnessed a nasty situation 2 months ago. What did the displaced people tell you? Or what did the community leaders tell you about their situation? You were saying everything looked calm.
The first line was the county commissioner. The county commissioner assured us that there was relative peace, that they were committed to a more durable peace in Tumbura. And all they needed was an external support. And they were actually working towards organizing a much bigger conference that would bring together other different stakeholders and communities in Tumbura, in the neighboring counties, because the conflict did not only affect Tumbura County, but it is Tumbura and the other neighboring counties like Najero.
How about the authorities in Yambio? I mean, the governor, the state authorities, what are they telling you? Did you meet the governor or the ministers in the state? What did they tell you?
Yeah, thank you, Governor. Like I told you, we only spent an hour in Tumbura because Yambio was our destination. So when we went back to Yambio, we were received by the governor, the deputy governor, and all the executives and the ministers from the airport. And we went straight to the governor. And we just had a courtesy, just greeting and welcoming us. But the following day now, when we opened now the political and the civic space training workshop, in his opening remarks, the governor, he appreciated his deputy, not him alone, but even all through the 2 days training, the relative peace in Tumbura was attributed to the good working relationship between the governor and his deputy, his new deputy. Remember, the governor had a different deputy 4 months ago. And when the other deputy governor was there, I think they were not in, they're always in loggerhead with the governor. So they were not getting along. But since the new governor, we had a reshuffle, he appreciated the role that this governor is respecting his office and they are getting things done collectively. And I don't know if I didn't hear actually what is the cause of the conflict, but just from the participants, some of them, random participants, they attributed to politicians in Juba inciting their communities, and mostly the Rande community, I'm told they used to head, they used to have a king years back. So that monarchy was a bit dominant for the last 107 years. And I think they managed to trace the heir in that meaning, and they now have a new king. And it looks like the new king is claiming the original land of the young, the Zande people now, the land and the resource, because Yambi on a good part of Western Equatoria is still currently, as we are told, that belongs to the Zande people. And the Zande people are both in South Sudan and in DR Congo, and also in Central African Republic. But you also have the Balanda that have lived along them for over 300 years. They have their marriage and they have been getting along together, and they also have part of the land in the state. So yeah, but one of the, those are the main causes that we are able to, that we have taken away from me, that one is just a political game, that the fight for resource, which includes power, of course, in the state resource, and the expansion of the kingdom.
Listening to you, it appears like the problem in Western Equatoria is deeper than what people are seeing from here. Western Equatoria stretches right away from Mundri to Najero, and there are other communities in between here. If there is a talk of extending the kingdom, that's a bigger issue than what authorities in Yambi are looking at.
Can you repeat that question again? You know,
I'm saying, you are telling me it appears like the conflict in Yambi is centered around a dispute over land and expansion of the kingdom, if you like, the Zande kingdom. But I'm telling you that Western Equatoria spans from Mundri up to Najero, including Mvolo. And if there is a talk of an expansion of the kingdom, it could result into a bigger dispute than what you're looking at right now. What do you think?
I must admit that I'm not very knowledgeable about the history of Western Equatoria in particular. What I'm giving you was from what I speak, actually, from the crowd during the 2 days interaction. I would not deny what you are saying, but again, I don't know what to. I really cannot comment this one. I'm not sure of the history exactly of the other community. I know there is other community, but the fight has been mainly between the two largest communities, the Balanda and the Zande. And again, from that call where I was, is that I understand that Balanda and Zande are the majority.
Yeah, Samuel, I know that this is a new area for you to look at, but the issues in Western Equatoria are centered around grievances from certain communities. And it's also a vicious cycle of, if you like, the outcry there from some communities who think the power has been centered around certain communities, and then when the 2018 peace agreement was signed and the SPLA-IO got the seat of Western Equatoria State, the governor who was sent there was not popular
based on what some communities are saying, that the governor has no following on the ground and he should not be there. But talking about majority and minority communities in Western Equatoria, I think what is happening in Tumbura is not about majority and minority. It's about ethnic-motivated politics that went wrong.
That Samuel Lee Egert's support staff, who was part of a team that visited Tumbura County last week. He spoke to me today from East Africa. That's all we had on our menu for this Monday, August 12, 2024. We now leave you with the song Shen Shen by Emmanuel Kembe.
Cries out with heart when the resistance in the heart of the person who killed. If you want peace, work for justice. And for the heads of the states and political leaders must not sacrifice the lives of their fellow citizens. Shen Shen. This song tells about the actual war situation in South Sudan.
Shen, shen, shen. Shen, shen, mama. Shen, shen. Shen, shen, shen. Shen, shen, mama. Shen, shen.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Kembe and the song Shen Shen. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Helen, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sudan is at a crisis point due to this absolutely senseless war, declared Ambassador Robert Wood, alternative representative for special political affairs to the UN Security Council.
Famine has been officially declared in the Zamzam internally displaced persons camp in the Al-Fasher region of North Darfur, where more than 500,000 people are sheltering. Experts suspect famine is also occurring in nearby Abu Shouk and Al Salam IDP camps.
Families who fled horrific violence have been going hungry for months. Children have been eating dirt and leaves, and every day babies have been starving to death, said Ambassador Wood. And yet, despite the fact that humanitarian assistance is available, the Sudanese Armed Forces, or SAF, and Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, have chosen to let the Sudanese people starve by blocking humanitarian corridors.
This includes the SAF restricting humanitarians from surging supplies through the critical Adre border crossing, which is only hours from Zamzam camp, just like they blocked aid movements from Adre with a single note for Baal. The SAF and the government in Port Sudan could end this obstruction today.
According to Doctors Without Borders, there is only enough food to treat malnourished children in the Zamzam camp for another 2 weeks. Doctors Without Borders has had to cap the number of children who receive this treatment because the RSF have blocked supply trucks. Since the beginning of this conflict, the United States has called on the international community to care more, to give more, and to do more, said Ambassador Wood. The United States is led by example by providing over $1.6 billion in assistance to Sudan and neighboring countries since the conflict began in 2023.
But right now, the RSF and SAF must remove barriers to aid and allow desperately needed food, water, and medicine to flow freely and at multiple entry points across borders and conflict lines. They must also participate constructively in ceasefire talks and silence the guns once and for all.
There is no military solution to this war, said Ambassador Wood. The toll is being measured in the tragic loss of civilian lives, displacement of millions from their homes, acute malnourishment, rape, torture, and other ill treatment, and ethnic cleansing. The United Nations and broader international community need to act collectively to end this crisis.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.